welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I began Monday. Just one phrase of scripture found in Colossians 2:10, ye are complete in Him. We are complete in Jesus. And we are taking a little bit of time to understand what that means. Well, for most of us, when we begin our adult life, maybe when you got out on your own, you began by setting up what, maybe an apartment or a house. And if you heard that story that I shared on Tuesday about these two businesses that were similar, and one had a wealthy father, so he had everything he needed. Isn't that nice to have a home that you've got all the furnishings for, everything that you need? And there's a lot in a home, not just the furniture, but the kitchen utensils and cookware and all that kind of stuff. So wouldn't that be great? But not many, unfortunately, have that experience. For many, they may, you know, live with roommates, or they may have an apartment, live in a flat, whatever. But if they marry, or even if they're single and they want to purchase a home, it may take years of hard work to get everything needed for that house. But when it comes to our spiritual walk, the Christian begins his walk completely furnished in his spirit and is dependent on faith, that we walk in that faith. That's why I'm taking the time this week to understand what that scripture is actually saying. We are complete in Him. Everything we need has already been supplied. And as I mentioned, like Israel having been in slavery 400 years, it took them a while to understand that they were no longer slaves. They were no longer slaves to sin or to the world system. And that's why the Holy Spirit's so gentle with us, because depending on what our life has been like, how long we've endured the sneers, the attacks, the arrows of the enemy, He knows where we are at emotionally, and He's so gentle. He knows, He's the perfect physician. He knows exactly how to deal with us. So we begin our Christian walk, even though we may hear it, but we don't really walk in the experience of it. In Colossians 4:12, we see, as Paul was wrapping up that particular epistle, that experientially we are incomplete. At this point, he's at the end of chapter 4, he's talking about his fellow workers. And in verse 12, he said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant in Christ, saluteth you. In other words, he sends greetings, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So obviously, none of us, even Paul confessed, I haven't attained yet, but we're pressing on toward the mark, the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. But it is God's desire that we should experience, receive, and obtain as much as our faith will allow us in this life to experience the goodness and the provision of the Lord. We'll have everything our hearts could possibly desire in heaven. He's he's giving us, I mean, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God wants us to experience, even with the trials and battles we will go through. Now, I don't believe the Christian life should be one of great constant trials. There are seasons. Yes, there are. Difficult times, sometimes that can endure for years. I have personally experienced that. But it's not the continuous state of one's life. God has a reason and purpose in everything. And so, as I mentioned before, are we hearers only of the word? We need to be doers. We need to seek godly wisdom. And that will help us make the right choices. So a lot of the messes we get in, it's because of our own lack of judgment, not heeding counsel, going on in stubbornness or rebellion. I mean, we bring it on ourselves. But God is so patient. Aren't you glad he's so patient? We wouldn't have a fraction of the patience with one another, do we? Oh, goodness. So God will make us, now hear me, what he already counts us to be. In other words, how he sees us, he's got that perfect picture of us. He had that perfect picture when he created us, when he spoke us into existence, when we began life, he gave us the breath of life. He who began that good work in you, don't you love? I mean, how often we hear that or I use that scripture. He who began that work, it doesn't even depend on our faithfulness. We keep trying. If we fall, the poor point is, if we fall, we just keep getting up. Fall, keep getting up. Fall, keep getting up. And there'll come a time when you're not falling so much, just like a toddler learning to walk. After a while, you'll finally get it. Now, sometimes it takes a long time to get stuff because we're not really, we tend to be a little hard-headed. Do you know people like that? I've known people like that. It isn't until the end of their life they finally begin to grasp spiritual truths. God knows how to turn the screws too. Anyway, Deuteronomy 33 and 27 states, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee." Now, that word refuge, it's a very powerful word. It means infinitely more than just a temporary place of safety or shelter. The Hebrew word for refuge used here is mehana, and it means a habitation, a dwelling place, a refuge, or a home. We can relate to a home, can we not? No matter how humble it is. I mean, there's times I've made my home a room, period, before I was married. I mean, I could be, you know, happy just with a room. You know, perhaps, for example, you're caught in a sudden storm and you run to seek shelter. But when the storm's over, you leave that protecting shelter, don't you? But not so with the Lord. If you run to him, you can dwell there. Hallelujah. Remember Psalm 91? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Imagine yourself a little chicken. That's just how he's taking care of you. There's a temporary safety or shelter in the Lord. And so you don't have to leave. Abiding means you can live there. You can dwell there. You don't have to leave. Praise God. All right. Let's now take a look at Romans, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm skipping to verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is who he's referring to, is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Of course, he's talking about the Gentiles. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That gainsaying, it means stubborn people. And so, what is the Lord saying? all day long I'm stretching out my hands unto a disobedient, gainsaying people. And beloved, if his everlasting arms are not beneath you, we just shared that in Deuteronomy, right? Underneath of the everlasting arms, they are stretched forth in earnest pleading towards you. The joy of resting in the everlasting arms is known only by those who have responded to his loving invitation. Think of that. All day. Think of that. Have you ever tried to hold your hands outstretched even for a few minutes? It hurts. But God says he holds his arms outstretched all day long. How tragic. So many keep him in that position when God really wants to hold you in his arms and draw you close to him. Remember Moses when Joshua was fighting a battle and he was supposed to have his arms outstretched? He had to have Aaron and Hur hold up his arms. It's hard to continually hold out your arms, but that is what God is doing to us, beloved. The arm of God is a symbol of power. Isaiah talks a lot about the arm of the Lord, and the bride in Solomon's song could say, his left arm is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. Hallelujah. Although his glorious right hand is stretched out to defend us from all perils and all dangers that the enemy would inflict, his left hand binds us to his great heart of love. Oh, in the moments that remain, I just sense in the spirit, some of you, you're not where in the Lord where you should be. And if you take this opportunity now just to repent and to ask God to restore you to the fellowship you once knew, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift those that you're stretching out your arm to them. Father, I pray they will repent. They will come to you. And Lord, if some have not, maybe they grew up in church as a child, but they're not saved. Father, I pray that you will reveal your great love to them. And Lord, that you will embrace them, that you will hold them close, and you will provide the comfort that they need. And Lord, those who are walking with you that are going through difficult trials right now, Lord, embrace them. Let them feel your arms of love around them. Protect them and shelter them. Minister to their needs. Lord, I rebuke the work of the enemy, and I loose the provision of God spiritually, physically, financially, circumstantially, in whatever way they need. I release victory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, I can feel God's heart of love just reaching out to you. Spend some time with the Lord, if you can, as we bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me. The announcer is going to give our contact information. If you have specific areas or just general areas, if you just want prayer, I invite you to write, and the announcer will give our contact information. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.